All right, so as we get started, I want everyone to close their eyes. And I want you to take a big, deep breath. Take another one. And do one more. Now you can keep your eyes closed. And I'm going to read a passage from the words of Jesus. It says, "Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." So that's from Matthew 11, 28 through 30. And this morning, really, my goal for this message is for us to be encouraged that Jesus is inviting us into that easy yoke. You know, an easy life is not an option, but an easy yoke is. So in our Western culture today, we are consumed by information. We have our phones, our iPads, our smartwatches, you know, you name it. We are connected in so many different ways. And, you know, I can get in touch with one of you guys probably five or six different ways. I could send you a tweet. I could, you know, message you on Facebook. I could text you. I could FaceTime you. And all of these tools were developed, you know, to give us more time, to be more efficient, to keep us more connected, and to, you know, they were all developed for good things. But sometimes, and oftentimes, they do the exact opposite in our lives. You know, our culture is one of busyness, hurry, and distraction. You don't have to raise your hands, but how many of you this morning, when asked, "How are you?" responded with, "Oh, I'm doing good, busy," or just busy, right? It's kind of the new norm. It's almost the expected response in our culture. And busy is associated with success. It's associated with importance. And it's kind of, you know, just who we are as a culture these days. And with all this information, really, distraction and busyness is kind of a pandemic in our world. Statistics show that on average, we touch our phones 2,617 times per day. And we're on our phones about 2.5 hours a day. So if you got your phone at 13 and you died at 75, you will have spent 6.5 years on your phone. It's pretty dramatic, right? There's really no end to distraction in our culture. And I really think the phrase is true that if the devil can't get you to sin, he'll get you busy. And really, hurry, busyness, and distractions are great enemies to our spiritual life. And so this morning, I want to talk about an answer, one answer that I think is found in Scripture that is actually commanded in Scripture and I think fights against the reality of our culture in today's world. And so there's a practice of the way of Jesus. It's actually a command, like I said, that fights against the cultural norm of busyness, and it reminds us on a weekly basis that we don't have to live in the constant state of anxiety, stress, and hurry. And that practice is called Sabbath. I'm sure many of you have heard that term, Sabbath or Shabbat in Hebrew. And so I just want to do a quick biblical survey of where it shows up in the Old Testament and the New Testament, kind of give us a little bit of groundwork to work on. So if you would, turn with me to Genesis 2. So Sabbath shows up right at the beginning of the book, Genesis 2, verses 2 through 3. So it says, "And on the seventh day, God finished his work that he had done. And he rested on the seventh day from all his work that he had done. So God blessed the seventh day and made it holy, because on it God rested from all his work that he had done in creation." So let's just take a minute to meditate on that last little line, it says, because on it God rested from all his work that he had done. Just think about that. God rested. So the God of the universe, who is all sufficient, he has all the power. He actually upholds our very breath, right? He is upholding the universe. He rested. And that kind of just blows my mind right there, and we could probably end the message today. But that's it. Our God is a God of rest. So we find the actual command to rest in Exodus 20. This is the Ten Commandments. We're all should be, you know, if you've been around the church for a while, you're familiar with the Ten Commandments. It's right in there with you shall not murder, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not steal. You know, we're all pretty good at all those things. Jesus upped it a couple notches when he came and addressed the heart. But right in there, the fourth commandment, it's Exodus 20, 8 through 11. And so just flip over a little bit to the right to Exodus 20. And this is just a month or two after the Israelites, you know, are freed from slavery. And Moses is given these Ten Commandments on Mount Sinai. In verse 8 of chapter 20, it says, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, you or your son or your daughter, your male servant or your female servant, or your livestock, or the sojourner who is within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that is in them, and rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. So there's a couple points in here. First, the reason to remember was because God rested on the seventh day. And actually, it's unique in the Ten Commandments. This is the only one that's actually given a reason for it. You know, it says, do not murder. It doesn't really give us a reason. We kind of all get that. But on the Sabbath, it says, remember the Sabbath because God is a God of rest, right? The Lord says that he is a God of rest, and he invites us into this same rest. And that's the easy yoke that I think the Lord has for us. So let's keep flipping to the right. Deuteronomy 5. And this is really interesting, and I think has a lot of power and just insight to what the Lord was doing here. In Deuteronomy 5, so this is Moses, and he is kind of summing up the Ten Commandments again, but it's for a new generation. So the Israelites have been journeying in the wilderness for 40 years. And so what it is like to be a slave is not fresh on their mind anymore. You know, this is a new generation. And Moses kind of gives these Ten Commandments again before they cross into the Promised Land. But I want you to notice as I read this some of the differences, because there's some pretty stark differences in this fourth commandment in Deuteronomy. So this is Deuteronomy chapter 5, 12 through 15. It says, observe the Sabbath day to keep it holy, as the Lord your God commanded you. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work. The seventh is the Sabbath day to the Lord. On it you shall not do any work, you or your son or your daughter, your male servant, your female servant, your ox, your donkey, or any of your livestock, or the sojourner within your gates, that your male servant and your female servant may rest as well as you. You shall remember that you were a slave in the land of Egypt, and the Lord your God brought you out from there with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm. Therefore, the Lord your God commanded you to keep the Sabbath day. So this generation, like I said, they didn't know slavery. They didn't just come from slavery like they did in Exodus. And I believe he says, you know, that you shall remember, the reason, again, is in Deuteronomy, is you shall remember that you were a slave versus you shall remember that I rested. And so we have these two different realities. In Exodus, we have the command to remember our God as a God of rest. And in Deuteronomy, we have the command to observe the Sabbath because I want you to remember that you were once slaves and have been delivered and freed. And so the way I like to describe this is we have remember in Exodus that he's a God of rest, and we have resist in Deuteronomy. And so, we have this idea that the Lord is a God of rest, and we are going to remember that. We're going to live from this place of rest, but we're also going to observe physically a Sabbath day, a day of rest, to resist a culture of striving, of busyness, and of hurry, because I need that reminder daily, weekly. I need that reminder. It is so easy to fall into the slavery of this culture. And that's, I think the Lord knew that. And he knew, and that's why he, in my opinion, he commanded this rest, because we are prone to striving. We're prone to doing things in our own strength. We're prone to being busy. We're prone to being distracted, and especially in the culture that we live in. So we have remember and resist. And I think practicing Sabbath brings a balance to and a freedom from our propensity to strive and do things in our own strength. Okay, so as we talk about Sabbath, I think it's really easy to get hung up on legalism, to get hung up on the do's and don'ts of Sabbath. And we're going to get to some practicals. I'm a practical guy, so we're gonna get into some of that. But I think the beautiful thing about Sabbath is it's a practice of the way of Jesus that was set in place to bring us life and freedom. And I want you to turn to Mark 2. This is the only New Testament passage we're going to read. There's a ton on the Sabbath and in the New Testament as well. But I think Mark 2 kind of gives us a glimpse into the Sabbath and what Jesus's intent was behind it. So in Mark 2, Jesus and his disciples were picking grain on the Sabbath. We're going to actually read verse 27, but before that, his disciples are going through the grain field and they're picking grain, probably popping some in their mouths. They're harvesting basically on the Sabbath. And in this time, that was a law that you are not supposed to harvest on Sabbath. And so the Pharisees approached Jesus and they said, why are you doing something unlawful on the Sabbath? And Jesus responded, Mark 2:27. He said, "The Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. So the Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath." So the Sabbath was made for us. It was not made, we weren't made to fulfill the Sabbath. And what I mean by that is we aren't bound by some, legalistic practice, but we're actually invited into rest. The Sabbath was made for you. You weren't made to check all the boxes and somehow, fulfill the Sabbath. No, it was actually made for your joy and your delight. You could say it another way. We aren't here to serve the Sabbath. The Sabbath is here to serve us. The goal of Sabbath isn't to rest from our work, but it's actually to work from rest. It's a mindset shift. We in our culture very much are working, and then we plow into the weekend and we're like, finally, I'm going to rest. I'm going to kick my feet back. I'm going to binge on Netflix. I'm going to not think about the week. But I really believe that as we begin to be intentional about Sabbath, that it'll change from us striving, and then kind of burning out to working from a place of rest, from a place that the Lord has for us. I think it's interesting, too, that in the creation story, Adam, man, was created on the sixth day. So man's first full day of life was actually Sabbath. So there's a little something for you. So here it is. This is what I feel is the invitation. I feel like Sabbath is an invitation to a rhythm of life. It's a day every week to remember that we're no longer slaves, that we serve a God of rest and abundance, and that his burden is easy and light. It's a day to remember what Jesus said on the cross. He said, "It is finished." So we're not working. We're not striving for our salvation. You know, we're not striving to be justified before the Lord. Jesus on the cross, he said, "It is finished." And he invites us into this rest. I think it's also a day that foreshadows the glorious return of our King. When he is going to restore the earth, we're going to live in perfect unity and harmony with him. It's a day set aside to simply stop. And that's really what Shabbat means. It means stop. It means stop working, stop wanting, stop worrying. Simply rest in God's presence and delight in his presence. Another beautiful thing that the Lord has really been speaking to me about is the 7-day week. And so the Lord commanded this every single week. He said, "Hey, I want you to observe. I want you to rest. I want you to be intentional about entering into my rest every single week." And so that's every 7 days, right? It's a cyclical thing. And the Lord set up the 7-day week. I don't know if for you history buffs out there, but the French actually tried to make a 10-day week after the French Revolution, and it failed miserably. So the 7-day week is actually the Lord's idea. The seasons, the changes, the cyclical nature of life is set up by the Lord. And I think that if you aren't intentional about doing something within your 7-day week and you want that to be a part of your life, I think there's a disconnect there. And Jess and I began to think about this just for our own life a couple of years ago. We said, who do we want to be as a family? What do we want our kids to look back at when, you know, they're grown and say, this is what my family did, or this is what my family was known for? And we started jotting down some things, you know, like worship, prayer. We wanted to have intentional times around the dinner table. And then we started looking at our calendar and we said, okay, we want to be a family of worship, but we don't really have that in our schedule. I mean, we come on Sunday mornings, but so we started being intentional. We started putting in that little time slot, you know, on maybe Tuesday night for 20 minutes. We're going to sit down as a family and just put on some worship music and be intentional about this on a weekly basis. And that was all for the purpose of that rhythm and developing something that actually was a part of who we were. And so that's the same thing with Sabbath, is it is a day once a week where we are making it a part of our lives. We're intentionally making rest a part of our lives. And once we begin to incorporate a true day of rest in our schedule, we'll begin to see how it becomes a part of who we are. And we will live all the other 6 days differently. And that's how you begin to work from rest and not for rest. So Sabbath is more than just a day off. It's not a day to kick up your feet, you know, binge on Netflix. I'm sure we've all done it, and we probably don't feel super rested after that. It's an intentional day of rest and worship, of delight and gratitude. And it's a day to remember that God is a God of rest and a day to resist our culture of busyness and hurry, remembering and resisting. So where do we start? Okay, well, it's simple. Simply set aside a period of time, preferably 24 hours as you build up to it, to rest and to worship. And I'm going to go over just some practical suggestions that I'm finding in my life are really helpful. But again, there's no legalism. It's not a box to check. It's not a thing that we have to do every week, right? It's a thing that we want to begin to cultivate in our lives that we long to do, we long to enter into. And again, Sabbath was made for man. And it's going to look differently for every single person, every single family, every single season of life. You know, Jess and I and a lot of you guys out there have little kids, and Sabbathing is different with little kids than it is with, you know, grown ones or retirees or whatever it may be. But again, here's some thoughts just to kind of get your mind turning and allow the Lord maybe to highlight some things. So number one is turn off your phone or use a do not disturb setting. And for me, this is kind of life-changing because I'm on my phone constantly through the week. just because of my work. I'm bombarded with phone calls, emails, text messages. I mean, that's where I live. I'm an office guy. So for us office guys, you know what that's like. And there has been so much life for me just by literally turning off my phone for a day or putting it on a do not disturb so that my wife could still call me if somebody died. I actually bought a dumb watch. I'm going to call it my Sabbath watch, I think. I haven't told Jess that, but it's a dumb watch because I always check the time with my phone. So I'm like, how am I going to do this, you know, when I'm intentional about rest? And so I'll put my watch on and turn my phone off. So there's a thought. Number two, don't purchase anything or really discuss anything you want. Be intentional about making it a day of gratitude, making it a day of thanking the Lord for what we have. And again, you can save all the shopping for the other 6 days. Spend time alone with God. Spend time with friends and family. If you're married, have sex. Take a nap, take a walk. Really, a good rule of thumb is to run each activity through this lens. Is this rest and is this worship? And I think the Lord is going to expand maybe what you think worship is. Worship isn't just putting on a Bethel CD for 5 hours and, you know, getting lost in the music. But, you know, worship is totally taking a walk, you know, and enjoying God's creation. And with little ones, it's even better because they're just astounded by everything. Or it's taking a nap. And so even yesterday for me, I took a nap. And that's a big deal for my personality because I am one that strives easily. I'm one that likes to be productive, that likes to schedule, you know, the 15-minute increments. Let's be productive and get everything done. But taking a nap really is a way to resist that culture, right? It's a way to say, hey, I am going to lean back in the arms of my Father and trust that he's got this. I'm going to take a 30-minute nap. So just some thoughts. And again, this, the practical of Sabbath, it's going to shift. It's going to change with seasons of life. And especially, you know, for Jess and I, kind of what our Sabbath looks like right now, and we're continuing to, you know, work on this and refine this. And the other thing about the 7-day week and the cyclical nature of that is you get to practice this every single week. So you might go home today and be like, yeah, we're going to Sabbath. We're going to enter into rest. And, you know, let's say you pick Sunday or you pick Saturday, whatever. You know, I don't care about the days or any of that, but you pick a time and you say, I'm going to be intentional. And, you know, it goes crazy. Maybe the kids just go bonkers and you have a fight with your spouse and it's okay. It's about the intentionality and it's going to come next week too. And then the week after that, and the week after that, and the week after that. And it's, again, it's about building the sustainable reality of rest in our lives. So again, for Jess and I, we typically have a large breakfast. We do pancake breakfast with the boys. They love that. Throw some chocolate chips in it. It's exciting. We like to go for a hike, especially, you know, if the weather's good. Get out in creation. Not really have, you know, a large schedule of, I got to be here, got to do this, but just relax into what the Lord might want to do on that day. And then, you know, for Jess and I, we really get revived by spending time with the Lord, by going to a coffee shop, reading, you know, journaling, praying. And we can't do that together because we have 3 kids that are 4 and under. And so we take turns. You know, Jess will take a couple hours and I will take a couple hours. I am still working on the kids. I've been telling them no poopy diapers on Sabbath, you know, or no toddler tantrums on Sabbath, but it just hasn't worked yet. But anyway, it's going to look different for everybody every season of life. And again, there's no legalism in those kind of list of what should I do, but it just kind of gives you maybe some things to think about. One of my favorite teachers on the Sabbath right now is John Mark Comer. For those who know me, I had to plug him into this message. He's from Bridgetown Church in Portland. So if you want to go deeper in Sabbath, he's got a great series on Sabbath. He's starting a website called practicingtheway.org, which is like a 4-part series on Sabbath. And but anyway, one of his quotes that I think sums up a lot of what I'm saying today is, he says this. He says, rest is a weapon against the enemy. It's hard to tempt those who are rested, content, and joyful. It's easy to tempt those who are tired, stressed, and burnout. Sabbath isn't just a 24-hour time slot in your weekly schedule. It's a spirit of restfulness that goes with you throughout your week, a way of living with ease, gratitude, appreciation, peace, and prayer, a way of working from rest and not for rest, a way of living from abiding. And so that's my prayer for us this morning, that as we begin to maybe take some intentional steps to actually follow this command of Sabbath, to actually set aside a day to rest, to enjoy God's presence, to resist our culture of busyness, of hurry, of distraction, that we would begin to live all 6 days differently, and that we would live from a place of abiding, from a place of rest, and that we would take on that yoke that truly is easy and light. A book that I recently started, another just kind of suggestion for going deeper, is called Sabbath by Dan Allender, and it's definitely rocking my world so far. And I wanted to read a quote from that as well, because I think it's just provoking. It says, Sabbath is the holy time where we feast, play, dance, have sex, pray, sing, laugh, tell stories, read, paint, walk, and watch creation in its fullness. Few people are willing to enter the Sabbath and sanctify it, to make it holy, because a full day of delight and joy is more than most people can bear in a lifetime, let alone a week. And I found that in my own life. You know, we're kind of addicted to busyness. We're addicted to distraction, for sure. I think we have the attention span, or I think a goldfish has a longer attention span than we do now. I think goldfish have 8 seconds. We might be closer to six. But that's the reality, is we love distraction. And sometimes it distracts us, and you know, from our what's actually going on in our lives, and some of the hard things and all that. And I get all that. But the Lord, he's inviting us into something different, a different escape than distraction. He's inviting us into true rest. And here's a practical, actual command in the Bible that'll get us there, that'll help us enter into that rest. So that's what I feel like is the invitation from the Lord today. I feel like the weekly rhythm of joy and delight in his presence that brings us freedom from busyness and hurry and distraction. So why don't you just stand with me as we close. We're going to just put on some music in the back. We've got about 10 minutes. For those of you who aren't aware, we're trying to shorten our services a little bit, help our little ones, and just be more intentional with our service. So trying to end at noon. So get here at 10:30, because you're going to miss worship. It's only 30 minutes now. I know you guys out there that used to come at 10:50 because worship kept going, but that is ended. But anyway, we got about 10 minutes left. And as we close, I'm going to pray, but I really just want to open up the front. I know, Andrew, I think you're going to come up and just be available for prayer for anybody, and if any of the other, you know, elders want to come up as well. It might be a response from my message about rest, about entering into that true rest. But, you know, it might be something different. You might need prayer for whatever's going on in your life right now. You might want to receive the Lord for the first time today. If you want to give your life to him, any one of these men up here would love to pray for you. And so I just kind of want to open it up to more of just a response for whatever you may need. And so, yeah, I'm going to pray, and you're officially dismissed. But